Chapter 1. A Strange Adventure.
This is the story of a crime committed against a woman. I, Walter Hartwright, drawing teacher, have asked several people to contribute narratives. Each narrator will describe what he saw with his own eyes, so that the narrative will be as truthful as possible, and the evidence will be presented as in a court of law.
1. Walter Hartwright's narrative.
One evening in July 1849, I went to see my mother and sister at their house on Hampstead Heath. My Italian friend Pesca was there, and he had good news for me. He had found me a job in Cumberland in the north of England. 4 months teaching drawing to the nieces of Mr. Frederick Fairley of Limeridge House. On the evening before I left for Cumberland, I went to say goodbye to my mother and sister. It was past midnight when I left their house to walk home to my apartment in London. As I stood at the crossroads, I felt someone suddenly touch my arm. I turned around quickly in fear and surprise. There, behind me, stood a woman dressed completely in white.
"Is this the road to London?"
she asked. She was young and thin, with a pale, worried face. After a pause, I replied, "Yes, sorry for not answering you before. I was surprised to see you. The road was empty just a moment ago." She indicated a tree nearby.
"I hid behind that tree to see what kind of man you were. Don't worry, I've done nothing wrong, but there's been an accident. Will you help me?"
"Certainly."
"I need to go to London. I have a friend there. Could you help me to get a carriage?"
As we walked together down the London road, looking for a carriage, she said,
"Do you know any aristocrats?"
"Some," I replied, surprised by her strange question. "Why do you ask?"
"Because I hope that there's one you don't know, one who lives in Hampshire."
What's his name?"
"I can't say his name. It upsets me too much. Tell me the names of the aristocrats you know."
I named three gentlemen in whose houses I had taught drawing.
"You don't know him,"
she cried with relief. "Has this gentleman treated you badly? Is he the reason you're here alone at this hour?"
"I can't talk about it,"
she said. We left the heath and entered an area of houses. After a while, she asked me if I lived in London. "Yes, but tomorrow I'm going to Cumberland for 4 months."
"Cumberland!"
she cried.
"I was happy there once, in a village called Limeridge. A lady called Mrs. Fairley was kind to me, but now she and her husband are both dead."
I looked at her in surprise and was about to ask her more, but just then I saw a carriage. I stopped it and asked the driver to take the young woman into London. She got into the carriage, then turned to me and kissed my hand.
"Thank you,"
she said. Then the carriage drove off, and the woman in white was gone. I walked on thinking about this strange adventure. As I passed a policeman, I heard a carriage on the road behind me. The carriage stopped, and the driver spoke to the policeman.
"Have you seen a woman dressed in white?"
"No, sir."
The man gave the policeman a piece of paper.
"If you see her, stop her and take her to this address."
"Why?"
asked the policeman.
"What's she done?"
"She's escaped from my asylum,"
the man replied, and he drove off. Late the next evening, I arrived at Limeridge House. Mr. Fairley and his nieces were already in bed. A servant gave me dinner and showed me to my room. The next morning I went down to breakfast at 9. The dining room was long with windows overlooking the sea. A lady was standing by a window at the far end of the room, looking out. She was tall and had a beautiful figure. She turned and walked gracefully towards me. "What will her face be like?" I asked myself as she got nearer. At first I noticed that she was dark, then that she was young, and finally, to my great surprise, that she was rather ugly. She had a large, strong, masculine jaw. Her expression was honest and intelligent, but it had none of the gentleness that is the greatest charm of a woman.
Mr. Hartwright?
She asked, shaking my hand.
I'm Marian Halcombe, one of your new students. I hope you won't be bored here. You'll have no men to talk to. Mr. Fairley never leaves his room. He's an invalid, or so he thinks. This morning, I'll be your only company for breakfast, since my sister Laura is in her room with a headache. Your life here will be very quiet. I hope you aren't the kind of person who's unhappy without adventures.
Oh, no, I replied. I like a quiet life, and recently I had such an adventure that I don't want another one for years. As we ate breakfast side by side like two old friends, I told Miss Halcombe about the woman in white. She listened with interest and looked surprised when I told her the part about Mrs. Fairley. When I had finished, she said,
Mrs. Fairley was my mother. She was married twice, once to my father, who was a poor man, and then to Mr. Philip Fairley, who was rich. My sister Laura is the daughter of her second marriage. My mother died, then Mr. Fairley died. His brother, Frederick Fairley, is Laura's guardian. Laura and I are very different. She's blonde, and I'm dark. She's beautiful, and I'm ugly. She's rich, and I'm poor. But even so, we love each other very much. When my mother came here, she started a school in the village. This woman in white was probably a student there. I wonder who she was.
After breakfast, I went to see Mr. Frederick Fairley in his room. He was a weak, lazy hypochondriac who considered himself a man of artistic sensibility. I left his room with a feeling of relief and spent the morning looking forward to my meeting with Miss Laura Fairley. That afternoon, I went for a walk with Miss Halcombe. In the garden, we met her sister, Miss Fairley. She was a fair, delicate girl in a simple white dress. She looked at me with kind, honest, and innocent blue eyes. She was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. And yet there seemed to be something missing. I did not know what.
Laura,
said Miss Halcombe,
you have your drawing book with you. You see, Mr. Hartwright, she's the perfect student. She can't wait to begin her studies.
No, I'm afraid to begin,
said Laura gently.
I know my drawings aren't good, and I'm afraid to show them to you.
Well,
said Miss Halcombe,
I'm sure that Mr. Hartwright will pay us compliments even if our drawings are horrible.
I hope he won't pay me any compliments,
said Miss Fairley. Why not? I asked.
Because I'll believe everything you say to me,
she answered simply. I, a humble drawing teacher with no money, fell in love with the rich and beautiful Miss Laura Fairley as soon as I saw her. That evening after dinner, Miss Fairley went outside to walk in the garden. I started to follow her, but then Miss Halcombe called me, and I returned to the drawing room. Miss Halcombe was holding a letter. Beyond her, through the window, I could see Miss Fairley walking in the moonlight.
After the story you told me this morning, I've been reading my mother's old letters,
said Miss Halcombe.
She wrote this to her second husband, Mr. Philip Fairley, when he was in London on business. Listen. There is a new student at the village school, a little girl called Anne Catherick. She has come to Limeridge from Hampshire with her mother for a few weeks. Her mother is a respectable woman, but there is something mysterious about her.
As Miss Halcombe read, I watched Miss Fairley walking in the garden.
I like little Anne a lot. I noticed that she was slow in her studies, so I asked the doctor to examine her. He says that she'll get better. Her clothes were old, so I gave her some of Laura's white dresses.
I told her that blonde girls look nice in white. She kissed my hand and said, I'll always wear white. It'll help me to remember how kind you've been to me. Poor little soul.
Miss Halcombe looked up from the letter.
The woman in white must be Anne Catherick,
she said. Just then Miss Fairley passed by the window again. Her white dress shone in the moonlight. My heart beat fast.
Listen to the last sentences of the letter,
said Miss Halcombe.
The other reason I like Anne is that she looks very much like Laura. She isn't as pretty, but her hair, eyes and figure are exactly like Laura's.
I stood up quickly, feeling the same sudden fear I had felt when that hand touched my arm at the lonely crossroads. There stood Miss Fairley, alone outside in the moonlight, looking exactly like the woman in white. I suddenly realized that the something missing was this. My realization of the disturbing similarity between the fugitive from the asylum and my student at Limeridge House.